Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
For your seated this morning, I want to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 37 through 44. As you probably know, today is Palm Sunday. It's the Sunday before Easter in which we remember and celebrate the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem as Savior and King. And so that's where we're going to be in our scripture today. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, starting with verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, then the stones would immediately cry out." Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come up upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation." This morning, I simply want to speak on consider God's heart. You may be seated. Consider God's heart. Today, as you've come to church, I suppose you could be feeling all sorts of different ways. Today, you may be joyful, you may be happy, you may be content, you may be feeling thankful and grateful, or today, you may be overwhelmed, you may be scared and fearful or worried, you may be confused, lost, or frustrated. Today, you may feel sad, unhappy, discouraged. Whatever it is, you must be feeling some sort of way. And though it is my desire, my prayer that you're always full of joy and hope and peace and strength, I realize that that may not be the case. But have you ever considered how God feels? What emotions that God may have? What about his heart? What about his feelings? You know, church, sometimes it's like, for some reason, sometimes it's easy to think, well, God probably doesn't have a heart. He's not a human like us. He probably doesn't have feelings or emotions like us, like he's God. He's self-sufficient. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful, never lacking anything, always in perfect peace, always joyful, always encouraged. I mean, come on, he's God. But can it really be said that the creator of the heart cannot have a heart himself, nor feelings, nor emotions? Can the God of peace ever lack peace? Can the healer know brokenness? Can the God of joy ever weep? The Bible says in the book of Genesis that when God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, sounds like our world today, that it grieved him in his heart. Furthermore, the Bible says David, King David, was a man after God's own heart. And so the Bible does talk about it. The Bible does make it clear that God has a heart. Okay, but have we ever considered God's heart? You know, the part of our scripture today that really sticks out to me is that while all this is happening, everyone is celebrating, and the other accounts and the other gospels talk about how they take these palm branches and they begin to wave these palm branches, and there's a big group, a big parade of people. They're all shouting, they're all excited, they're all cheering. When all of this is happening, Jesus stops. And it's as if his body begins to shake and his jaw begins to clench and his heart begins to break, and Jesus is brought to tears as he looks down at what's going on in Jerusalem. As he looks down at that city, he sees the mass of humanity crowding there, and he realizes the emptiness of their lives, the lack of peace in their heart, and the lack of understanding of what was going on. Why was Jesus showing up? Luke chapter 19, verse 41 says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw this city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you on every side. They'll dash you to the ground, you and your children. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. They had eyes, but they didn't see. They had ears, but they didn't hear. God knocked, but they didn't answer. He cried out so many times, but they didn't understand. They missed the point of why Jesus was there. The fact that they picked up these palm branches and they began to wave these palm branches showed that they didn't understand. Because by waving these palm branches, they were showing that, well, they expected this Jesus to be another warlord, another general of the armies, one who would lead them to overthrow the Romans who has been persecuting them and oppressing them. They were saying, hey, we're ready to get behind you. We're ready to pick up our swords, our shields, and we're ready to go to war with you, Jesus. But Jesus said, I didn't come for that purpose. I came to show you a more excellent way. I came to show you the way of love. And with tears in his eyes, church, he told them, if you would have just understood and not hardened your hearts. His heart was broken. His joy was taken. God was grieving. See, this wasn't his first time to cry. This wasn't his first time to weep. This wasn't the first time that his heart had broke. Scripture tells us that Jesus often reacted emotionally when he saw the poor, when he saw those who were hungry or sick, when he walked upon those who were lost and living in sin. The scripture says repeatedly that he had compassion on them. That's a God with a big heart. And Jesus is the same one whose heart broke time and time again when Israel in the Old Testament would disobey and walk away. For 40 years, God's heart remained broke as they wandered in that wilderness and continued in their unbelief and disobedience and sin. God's heart broke. It always breaks God's heart when somebody is living in sin. It always breaks God's heart when somebody is living in sin, because God knows a better way. Have you ever considered that God's heart hurts? You know, we hurt when others hurt. We hurt when our children hurt. We hurt when our loved ones hurt. We hurt when our friends hurt. But do we hurt when God hurts? Do we consider his heart? Do we consider his feelings? Because God has feelings too. And if he has feelings, he must have a heart. And surely he gets hurt too. And surely he cries. Surely he weeps. Surely he gets sad too. Because the Bible says that Jesus began to weep as he looked over the city of Jerusalem. Here it is proven that God not only has a heart, he has a heart, but that sometimes this heart breaks and he does weep and he does get sad. In fact, I don't think any person has ever cried as much as God. Furthermore, I don't believe anyone has a heart as big as God. And would you know that those with big hearts cry often? Those with big hearts cry often. When God's heart breaks, it's a big deal because I don't think anyone can comprehend the amount of love that is within that heart and mercy and forgiveness and grace. You know, it's his love that shows us mercy. So much mercy, the Bible says, that he removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. Have you ever considered that phrase? That phrase, as far as the east is from the west, it's meant to communicate infinite space. East is one direction, while west is the other. This is totally different from north and south. You can travel north only so far to the geographic North Pole before being forced to travel back down south. Thus, north and south meet at the poles, but east and west never meet. You've never heard of an east pole. You've never heard of a west pole. No matter how far you travel east, you'll never reach a point at which you must then begin to go westward. Therefore, God in his infinite wisdom did not say, I remove your transgressions as far as the north is from the south. Rather, he says, I will wipe out all your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. In other words, God is saying, my heart, which is full of mercy and forgiveness, measures much greater than all of your sins and all of your transgressions. My heart is greater than you can imagine, bigger than the earth, greater than the east is from the west. Do we understand how much forgiveness that must be then? Do we understand how big his heart must be? And sometimes that huge, big heart of his breaks. And it's not uncommon for this God to weep. Because where we may cry if we lose a loved one, and we may cry if we lose a family member or a spouse or a parent or a child or a friend, God is watching over 8 billion. 8 billion that he cares as much about than you care about your child. And when just one of these 8 billion are lost and they run away or they desert him, it hurts his heart. It really hurts his heart. When all of heaven is rejoicing, the Bible says, when one comes to repentance, God's heart hurts when just one person walks away. When heaven is watching over the 99, God is out searching in the night and in the darkness and in the early morning for the one who walked away, because that is the burden of his heart. Because when you lose what you love, there's grief, there's brokenness, there's heartache, there's concern, there's restless nights. Nobody has lost more than Jesus. Nobody has been run out on more than Jesus. Nobody has faced rejection like Jesus. Nobody has faced loss like Jesus. The Bible says he came to his own, but his own received him not. That's why he was weeping when he looked down at the city of Jerusalem. If they only knew his heart, if they only understood his heart, if they just considered his heart and had listened to the message that he was trying to preach to them by his heart. But the Bible says they ignored him and his own received him not. Yet his heart remained so big for them. It's important, church, that we understand that God has a heart. He's not operating without one. He's not ruling today, right now, without a heart that hurts. We've never known kindness like the Lord's kindness. We've never known mercy like the Lord's mercy. We've never known grace like the Lord's grace. We've never known love like the Lord's love. This isn't just some other religion. This is God's heart, the God's heart. This is his love. This is redemption. This is who he is. This is who he wants you to know him as. Like, really know him, church, and understand that he is a God with a really big heart. This week he told me to consider his heart. Church, when my son is old enough, and I understand, and he understands what I'm saying, he's not quite old enough to understand what I'm saying, but when he gets a little older, I'm going to minister the love of God to him every chance I get. And every time he messes up, every time he falls, every time that he knows he's done wrong and he doesn't want mommy or daddy to know, these are going to be the best times for me not to yell or send him to his bedroom feeling bad, but it's the greatest time for me to minister the love of God. And I'm going to tell him how it really is. Son, you're never going to mess up more than God is willing to forgive. That doesn't mean go act a fool. A fool continues to do what he knows that he shouldn't. It's never wise to act like a fool. Judgment is coming for the fool. There's consequences for the fool. We must not act a fool. But let me tell you how big God's heart is. No human instrument can measure the depth and the height and the length of this heart. No man, no woman could ever in a billion years with a billion words ever define what his love means. Paul said, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all knowledge. I can't define it. I can't illustrate it. I can't hardly describe it. But what I will tell you is that you'll never mess up more than God is willing to forgive if you will repent. Like true repentance from your heart. And if you don't believe that, then you do not understand the heart of God today. You don't understand the grieving and hurting heart of God. And if you don't believe that, then you probably always feel very dirty and condemned and unworthy and not enough. And you may have already quit repenting altogether because of the hypocrisy of repenting over the same thing over and over and over again. You know you'll never measure up. You know you'll never be good enough. But that's not the point. The point is understanding the great big heart of God. And so when his own received him not, he looked over Jerusalem, and this Jesus began to weep. God cried, the Almighty, the All-Sufficient, the King of Kings, the Mighty God, the Creator of all things wept, cried. It crushed his heart. It broke him. It grieved him on the inside. And yet to this day, in 2023, he has not stopped chasing them and pursuing them. Where there's a lost soul, there's a God pursuing. Where there's a backslider, there's a God pursuing them. Where there's a sinner, where there's somebody that feels stuck, where there's a person who's fallen into sin, there's a God still pursuing them. When others have cast them to the side and say, They're never going to get better. They're no good. There's a God pursuing them when maybe even the church doesn't seem to want to do anything with them anymore. There's a God pursuing them. His heart is greater than you think. His heart is greater than you think. I know it's simple teaching. It's elementary teaching. I could teach this to a group of third graders, and they would have faith to believe it. It's simple. But if we would just really consider the greatness of God's heart, it can make all the difference in our life. Consider the weeping God. Consider God's heart. Have you been hurting? You're probably not alone. For Jesus hurts too. Have you been sad? You're probably not the only one. For Jesus weeps too. And he wept as he looked down into Jerusalem. This wasn't a normal cry, church. The Greek word wept there is meaning intense sobbing. It is the kind of weeping which takes over you so that you begin to wail and you begin to cry out loud and lose control. Luke 19 verse 37 tells us many people saw him cry and they were confused that in the midst of all these palm branches being waved and, you know, the circus of people all excited and cheering, that tears would be coming from the king himself. But he was weeping because they didn't get it. They didn't understand. The people thought that Jesus was going to bring peace through war, but he had come to bring eternal peace. He hadn't come to restore their city at that point. He had come to restore their soul. Their Savior was standing right in front of them, and they missed it. And though they missed it, he would still go on to the cross for them because he was grieving. And the grieving God went to the cross to grieve some more so that we wouldn't die in our sins. You know, it wasn't the cross that killed him. It wasn't the nails in his hands. It wasn't the whips upon his back. It wasn't even the result of suffocation due to losing all of his bodily fluids and his organs shutting down. Nope, that wasn't it. It was the result of a broken heart. The grieving God died of a broken heart. He died in our place, knowing some would never acknowledge him, never accept him, never live for him, never love him. They would turn their back on him, never serve him, never care about him. And it hurts him so much when people walk away. Or they don't believe, or they question it all, or they never pray, or they never try to develop a real relationship with him, or they just continue in their life of sin. What do I do with all of this blood that I just shed? They don't even want it anymore. They don't even repent anymore. They're out doing their own thing in this world, living their own life. They never give me a thought. They are too busy, consumed by the cares of life. No time to pray, no time to worship. They don't even consider their own eternal soul. What do I do with all of this blood? I chase them, but they don't hear my voice. I knock, but they don't answer. I seek them, but they never care. It hurts him. It hurts him, church, when we are far from him. And today, just like those in Jerusalem, we too find ourselves in the presence of this mighty King, Jesus. But I wonder today what he sees when he looks at us. Do our sins and our hardened hearts and our unwillingness to repent cause him to grieve today? Does he weep today? Are we just busy doing our own thing, living our own lives so busy that we never bother to consider those things that are eternally important? Or when he looks upon us, does he see people who recognize him for who he is? The Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, the one who died in our place, the one who shed his blood, the one who went to the cross, the one who loves us, the one who will forgive anybody of anything. When he turns and looks into each of our lives, does he weep? Does he grieve? Does it hurt his heart? Or does he smile today, church, seeing that we've been covered by that precious blood of his? We're full of joy because we've run to him and we've given him our whole life. We're full of hope because we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not perfect, but every day we're walking with him, trusting in the blood that makes us clean. Church, is he weeping today, or is he smiling when he looks upon our life? Let's stand this morning. Consider the heart of God. Consider how his grief over us dying in sin and being lost for eternity led him to a cross, a brutal cross. It grieves him when we're living in sin. It grieves him when we're lost. It grieves him when we live this life where we always feeling condemned. No faith in the blood. No faith in the blood that washes and cleanses. It grieves him when we don't act upon his mercy and repent while we can. It grieves him when our sins have caused us to be far from him, isolated, deep down into the darkness of this world. Oh, his heart grieves. He wishes he was close to you. He did something about it. He went to the cross. It was at that cross where he paid for our sins so that we would come to him in humility, the desire to be forgiven, to be cleaned, so that all of our sins would be removed, the Bible says, from the east, as far as the east is from the west. Don't you doubt the size of God's heart today. Don't you doubt his willingness to seek after you even in the darkest night and reach for you and to save you. Don't you doubt his readiness to forgive you for the 15th time, or the 50th time, or the 500th time. Surely his blood is greater than our transgressions and sins. Don't you even spend a second of your living, breathing life wondering if he would forgive you. He will, church. He will, church. He will, church. The grieving God is always ready to forgive. The God who weeps is always ready to forgive. The God who always leaves the 99 to spend his night restlessly searching for the one to come home is always ready to forgive and to try again and to get up again and to find mercy again and to find forgiveness again.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.